I'm reading the scriptures, Romans 12, 1 through 8 from the NIV version. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what is God's will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen. So we have one more comment on sacrifice from Sandy. She said she just sacrificed a new shoe because the puppy is feeling free. So I was reminded of friends of mine who were rescued lots of dogs. They had a bunch of dogs all the time that they had rescued. And at one point they went away, they had a new one, and they came back, and that new dog had demolished several pairs of shoes, including Bess's best red cowboy boots. So, and their response was, oh, well, because they love the dogs even more than they love the shoes. So it's a good example. So the first thing that we hear here in this passage is present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And that phrase just snags my mind. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. I immediately think of the virgin daughters being thrown into the volcano or something like that. And it just seems like an odd thing for Paul to say, because throughout the Old Testament, one of the horrible things that the heathens did that God was constantly warning the Israelites to avoid was human sacrifice. When the people, the neighboring nations were really getting it wrong, it was, you know, don't make your sons and daughters go through the fire like they do. This idea of human sacrifice that seems to have entered into a lot of societies historically, it just is, you know, God really said, no, this is not what you are supposed to do. This is not what it's about. And here's Paul saying, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And then I think about what happened in New Testament times. I'm not aware of any human sacrificing per se happening in New Testament times. I'm sure it was in some places, but didn't seem to be much of a focus. But what was happening was that even in biblical times, people were becoming martyrs. They were being killed for their faith. James was the first one. He was killed by the sword as a follower of Jesus. And of course, as time went on beyond biblical times, we had all kinds of sacrificial practices. The Christians were being thrown to the lions. The Christians were being demolished and exiled and offered up as victims in many ways. Victim is a key word, because what offering oneself as a sacrifice is voluntary rather than victimizing. So it may be helpful to think about sacrifice as we have been doing and what it is. And one of the themes that you all mentioned was it has to be something that matters. In order for it to be a valid sacrifice, it has to be something that is mine to give, for one thing. And it also needs to be something that's important. I can give away clothes that don't fit anymore. That's no sacrifice. But I could give the shirt off my back, so to speak, to somebody who really needed it. And even if it's my favorite shirt, then, you know, that I would do that for the sake of another person who really needed it. And that might be more of a sacrifice, with the compensation that it would be satisfying because we're helping others. I think about the widow who put her two little tiny coins into the treasury. And Jesus said, lots of people come and put lots more money into the treasury, but her gift was the biggest one of all. And Jesus was not being mathematical and talking about percentages. He was talking about the importance of what was being given. Like you all have been saying, she gave of her own substance. She gave what she had, all of what she had that was available. It's interesting that she gave two coins. She might have only had two coins. She could have kept one back saying, I need to get some supper tonight, but she didn't. She gave what she had. She gave both of her coins. It's not like, oh, all I've got is a $100 bill. I guess you can have the 100. Another interesting point to make about sacrifice, and this ties to Connie's comment about the sacrifice that was offered and then was eaten by the people. That wasn't the case with all the sacrifices. There, if you go through Leviticus, which is all, you know, the details of how you're supposed to do these things, there were different sacrifices required for different circumstances, situations. There were sin offerings and free will offerings and thank offerings and all these different kinds of sacrifices. And not all of them came back to the giver. Most of them fed the priest. But the thanksgiving offerings, the offerings of gratitude, were ones that were offered and the meat was cooked and then the people shared in the joy of the feast. So it's giving and it's receiving, it's gratitude and it's generosity. Those two are always tied together. Another interesting aspect of Old Testament sacrifice is that one of the words used for sacrifice can also mean slaughter. So a sacrifice is a slaughter. You're going to sacrifice a goat, you're going to kill it. You're going to sacrifice doves, you're going to kill them. You're going to sacrifice a bull, it's going to die. Slaughter and sacrifice, same word, which makes it more uncomfortable for us to think about our bodies as a living sacrifice. But it is a living sacrifice. When you sacrifice that bull or those doves, they die. They're not living sacrifice, at least not anymore. So Paul is saying that we are a living sacrifice. And we talk about being willing to die for our faith. Those Christians, those early Christians who were thrown to the lions, who were used as human torches, who were burnt at the stake for whatever. They were willing to die for their faith, and that's pretty hard. The question that Paul implies here is, are we willing to live for our faith? Are we willing to give our whole self? because we are more than just a body. God put together the dirt in the garden, and he had this form, but it wasn't until God breathed breath into that form that God had created that we took on life. And we are not just a disembodied spirit, and we are not just an empty shell. It requires both of those things together for us to be who we are. And what Paul is saying is that whole self needs to be the sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is your spiritual worship. This is worship. Worship in the Old Testament involved sacrificing animals. Paul says worship now involves offering ourselves. So how do we do this? He goes on to tell us, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, body and mind, so that you may discern the will of God, what is good and acceptable. And he goes on to say, don't think more of yourself than you should. Think of others, value others as well. And you all made the point that a sacrifice is for the good of others. It may be for the good of ourselves. It's also for the good of others. And then he finishes with one of his favorite common images, the body of Christ. As in one body, we have many members. So we are many, are one body in Christ. And individually, we are members of one another. And we have gifts that differ according to what God has given us. We know that. We know that some of us are gifted in one way, and some of us are gifted in another. And it takes all of those gifts together. It takes all of those abilities and skills and ideas and talents to produce a whole and complete body. So God has given us the gifts that empower us to do many things. And God requires us to recognize that those gifts that we have come from God, not just our financial resources, not just our not just anything, but everything. Not any one thing, but everything that God has given us is ours to use for God and for others. Not to think so highly of ourselves that we say, oh, look at this. I've got this, and I've got this, and I'm skilled at this, and I'm talented in this, and I'm pretty special. Not to think more highly of yourself than you ought. Doesn't mean denigrate yourself either. But recognize the gifts that God has given you and use your mind, renew your mind to use those gifts to give to God and to give to others, which sounds a lot like the greatest commandment as Jesus told us, love God and love others. And we know that when we love somebody, we give them gifts. We offer gifts to our spouses, to our children, to our friends, just because we love them and we want them to be happy. And if we give up something and make them happy, it makes us happy too. So we do receive as well. So the living sacrifice is a sacrifice. It doesn't come free. It doesn't come without effort. But it's a living sacrifice. We live with it and through it, and the life that God gives us is spent for others as well as for ourselves. Love God, love others, be a living sacrifice for God and for all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.